Today's letter comes to us from Little Sandy. Little Sandy writes in, Dear George G., would you rather? Dear George G., would you rather go through your household budget or get a root canal? What a question. Sounds like an obvious answer to me. Like I'd for sure rather go through my household budget than get a root canal. But that answer is not always the same. If you were to ask that question to me when I was 25 years old, you'd certainly get a different answer because I had neither gone through a household budget nor had I ever had a root canal. And so I think I probably would have just said, you know what, I'll do the root canal. When I was 35 years old, maybe because I'd never had a root canal, maybe would have picked the root canal as well because I just didn't like budgeting. And you may be sitting here thinking, well, that's crazy. Who in the world would ever choose that? Well, again, I wouldn't today as a 46-year-old who recently had my first root canal and as somebody who has been consistently doing a household budget for the better part of 16 years at this point, I suppose, from about the age of 30 when my wife and I got together and combined our household finances. So some interesting new learning, interesting changes in perspective. And I'll get more into that, but I appreciate the question, Little Sandy, because certainly there are a lot of people who have never done a household budget at all. Does that mean that they view it as an incredibly painful thing? Well, not necessarily. For some people, for sure. Maybe had the same experiences with money early on growing up that I had, which led me to avoid it, not at all costs, but not to pay super close attention to it. And that's one of the big keys to finding personal financial success. Getting out of debt, starting to save, starting to invest, eventually accumulating enough money to be able to buy a house or to be able to retire. There's a lot that goes into that, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the world of personal finance isn't complicated slash complex and confusing and all that stuff, but in a lot of ways, it's pretty simple, and one of the keys to it, again, is that we simply have to pay attention to it. We have to be looking at this stuff. Otherwise, you know, things aren't going to go the way that we want them to. They might. But the chances of it just working out the way we want it to are very, 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 very low. It's kind of like if you were just to hop in your car and start driving. It's like, are you going to end up somewhere? Yeah, you're going to end up somewhere. It might just mean that you run out of gas. And so this somewhere is going to be on the side of the road. Or maybe while you're driving, you're going to make decisions about, well, now that we're driving, where do you feel like going? Maybe you'll end up getting something to eat. Maybe you're going to do a really long road trip. But you get the idea that we are far better positioned to find success when we actually are going into things intentionally. And when it comes to our money, we need to be looking at the stuff, paying attention to it, and just making sure that things are going the way that we expect them to. So what I wanted to talk about today is the importance of having a monthly money meeting, MMM, or monthly money meeting. So what does it mean? What goes into that? What ought you be doing during these meetings to get out of it what it is that you are interested in? So I talked a little bit about how, you know, there's certainly a lot of complicated things about money, but a lot of really simple things about money. And if you look at personal finance from a first principle perspective, that means you strip everything back, strip it down and say, what is true about money? Looking at paying attention to your finances without question is one of those things. First principle thinking is what led Elon Musk, and now that he has become a pretty, what is the term? Divisive? I don't know if that's the term, but certainly a powerful figure. You probably love him or you probably hate him. Maybe you don't have an opinion on him, but anytime he goes to do something or disrupt an industry or do something that's never been done before, which he's now done numerous times, he goes down to first principle. So when he decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go into space. I'm going to start a rocket company. He didn't just go on the existing orthodoxy or the existing playbook or blueprint on how you build rockets He went down to first principles and said, okay, what do we need? What are the materials? You know, and he built it up from scratch versus relying on what other people had done in the past. So another important first principle of personal finance, and maybe the most important first principle of personal finance is this, is the answer to the question, can you save money? So I'll ask you, can you save money? Little Sandy, can you save money? This is something that my grandfather, who spent a career in the financial services industry, he would say, you know, I can tell you if you're going to become financially successful or not with this one question, can you save money? Are you able to save money? And the answer is yes or no. And if you're not able to save money, well, I can look into your future and say it's not going to be great from a personal financial standpoint. So we have to be able to get to the point where we're actually saving money. What's the point of this? Is that this is a skill. Just because maybe you're not currently saving and you never have, doesn't mean that you never will. Because you can change and become whatever you want. You've certainly learned how to do new things countless times in your life. I mean, you look back, there were times where you couldn't walk, you couldn't talk, and you pooped your pants all the time. And perhaps you learned how to do all of those, 2 out of 3, 1 out of 3. Odds are, yes, you now know how to walk, you now know how to talk. And if you're pooping your pants, just because you're choosing to do that, because you certainly understand how to use a toilet. So saving money, who would have thought, not dissimilar to how you used to poop your pants, but now you don't anymore. Maybe you didn't used to save money, but how do you actually start doing that? And that's one of the things that having a monthly money meeting is going to teach you how to do. So how do you move from being a spender, which is maybe what you currently are, to becoming a saver, which is somebody who's able to actually delay gratification, defer things, and in service of saving money for your future self. And your future self could be tomorrow, or it could be 100 years from now. But to serve and to honor and be a good steward on behalf of that version of yourself, be it tomorrow's version or 100 year from now version, you have to be able to save money. That's it. Can you save money? So what are these parameters that we can put in place? How do we put some structure in place that we can start following, and then eventually it becomes self-discipline? But you can't go from not having any self-discipline when it comes to your personal finances to having an extraordinary amount of self-discipline just like that. So we position ourselves for success by putting things in place, putting budgets in place, tracking our cash flow, reviewing things, which are all part of this monthly money meeting, all designed to help you to become better with money, to become good at money, to become financially successful, whatever level or whatever that means to you. So what are these elements? I think we have to have a plan. We have to track our cash flow, and we certainly have to budget. Okay. So I want to break those down, and then we'll get to the monthly money meeting. But that's pretty straightforward. And I know that it's important to understand why it is that we're doing the things that we're doing and the thinking behind, at least it is for me. It's kind of like if I just told you to spend less money. And if you thought, well, you want me to spend less money just for the sake of spending less money? You want me to cut my expenses just for the sake of cutting my expenses? That's not a sustainable plan. It's just not going to work. Versus if I said, okay, what's most important to you? Well, if you are a family person, it's probably your family, it's your kids, your wife, maybe it's your career, whatever is most important to you. Think about that. Think about what needs to happen to do more of that thing, to protect that thing, to make that thing better. Say, okay, in order to provide the kind of life that you want for your family and for yourself, we're going to need to cut some expenses, because right now we're not getting it done. So, okay, with that in mind, then I can see cutting back on things that I really enjoy, or things that are convenient, or things that add a little bit more comfort. That's very different than just stop spending money. It's we're going to cut back on our expenses and our spending in service of this thing that I really want. Okay, so we have to have a plan, we have to track our cash flow, and we have to have a budget. And here's another first principle, which you certainly know, and you've heard it a million times, is that what gets measured gets managed. So if we're not measuring our money at all, Well, there's very little chance that we're going to be as successful as we want. Again, you can hop in your car and end up someplace, and you might feel like that's where you should be. Or you could actually chart out your plan and say, I'm getting into the car because I'm going to the beach with my family, or I'm on my way to work. Okay. Doesn't need to be mundane, but a lot of this stuff is pretty mundane. And what we're doing is we're trying to position ourselves for success. And the thing about money is that it has a time value. So what's important about that is the longer you wait to start pursuing these goals, whatever it is that you want, the harder it becomes to actually get there. So it behooves us to get cracking on this stuff right away. Certainly ignoring problems. I don't know what your history with that is, that when you choose to ignore your problems, what happens to them? Do they magically go away? No, of course not. They get worse. Certainly don't get any better. All right. So we got to pay attention. We have to review. We have to track things. So let's get into each one of these things, because while none of this stuff is actual rocket science like Mr. Musk is doing, it is really, really important. So planning. Fundamentally, the only way to live how you want is to know how you want to live. The only way to live how you want is to know how you want to live. And this is a superpower. You get to design the life that you want and imagine any possible future. And then you get to make plans for bringing that desired future into your current reality. And then you execute on those plans. Okay. That's pretty amazing. But if we're not making any plans, then we are just forfeiting our ability, or surrendering, or just not tapping into our ability to really be alchemists, to create whatever future that we really want. So we have to have a plan, and it doesn't need to be super complicated. A financial plan is this. This is my current situation. I'm interested in having or doing this thing. How do I close that gap? So I'm at A, I want to get to B. What is it going to take to move from point A to point B? That's really it. And you make financial plans all the time. If you are going on vacation anytime soon, you certainly made a lot of financial plans there. You decided where you were going, how you were going to get there, where you were going to stay, what you were going to eat, what you were going to do. All of those things are, in fact, financial plans. So just get really clear. And if you want some more framework for that, I've got some free resources. You can go to moneyalignmentacademy.com and go to courses. And then we have a goals course on there for free. That'll help you walk through my goal setting framework. And again, it's not rocket science, but it's helpful. It's helpful to have a guide. You can also download a copy of the purpose book, which will get into what you want, what your purpose is, what your goals are, your habits are, what your beliefs are. It's a quick read, but you can get a free digital copy of that on the site as well. So check those things out. So planning, it's just really important to set plans, to have goals. Verdict is in. Having goals, good. Not having goals, less good. Optimal, suboptimal. Okay. The next thing is tracking our cash flow. And this is one of the most important things that we do. It's one of the easiest, most basic things that we do, but too few of us are actually doing it, especially these days, because we have instant access to all of our accounts right on our phones. You can log into your bank, you can log into your credit card accounts, all of these things, and track your money. So cash flow is simply, it's money coming in and it's money going out. And we have to know what those numbers are. And that's part of this review process, is understanding, okay, here's what I spent money on. Here's the money that came in. But on top of that, I also want you to closely manage the amount of debt that you have. So if you've got credit card debt, I want you to keep a really close eye on that. I want you to also know if you have student loans and your mortgage and all those kinds of numbers. It's important to track, just be looking at those. But then also, just to make sure that we're also tracking the value of our assets. So assets minus liabilities, that's essentially what our net worth is. And you have a net worth. And it might be negative, it might not be very much, but I want you to get in the habit of paying attention to those numbers. It's nothing but a positive thing. You know these things. So when we're tracking our cash flow, it is simply a function of logging into all of our accounts where we're spending money and looking at all the transactions. How long has it been since you've done that? Let's be honest with yourself. It's easy to go months, if not years. Even though it's very easy to look at these things, it's also easy to not look at these things. And I'm not beating it, but not beating up on you. If you're not in the habit of doing these things, that's okay. That's a big opportunity to take some big steps forward. So if you're not doing any of these things, you can start doing them really easily, and you're positioning yourself for a lot of success. You're really getting yourself a lot closer to what you want, a lot further down on your path. So it's reviewing all the transactions, looking for stuff that shouldn't be there, but also looking for opportunities to be cutting things out that you maybe don't value. Right now, we live in this subscription economy where everybody wants your money consistently, so they want you to sign you up for things. We've got all kinds of new streaming services and da, 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 da. So much stuff going on. So many different ways that wonderful companies are extracting our resources. It does mean it's wonderful for us, though. So it's important to be reviewing these things. And odds are, you can always benefit from having another $100 or $500. I know that I can. And if you've not been going through your cash flow, you're leaving opportunities to be cutting expenses and adding to your bottom line. Budgeting, budgeting, budgeting. My opening joke here was about how I don't like budgeting. And that all stems back to when I was a kid growing up, there wasn't a lot of money, and it was more a source of pain and frustration and anxiety and stress than it was a tool for positive things. Now that's completely shifted in my life away from scarcity, negativity to now a budget. I view budgeting as what it is, which is a plan for our money. And we budget because it lets us know that we're on track to get the things that we want or that we're behind. We're not on track. And both of those are good answers. It's really good to know that what I'm doing is working, but it's also good to know that what I just did over the last 30 days is not working and something needs to be changed and adjusted. And boy, that is way better to find out after 30 days versus 180 days or 365 days. Okay? We want to stay in front of this stuff, nip it in the bud, and just be able to pivot or change gears, change course, however you want to think about that, as soon as possible. And every month is a great way to do that. So a budget is just a plan for your money. And along with cash flow, it's table stakes for becoming financially successful. If you don't have a plan for your money, and if you're not paying attention to where your money is going, it's going to go. It's not going to stick around. It's going to find its way into somebody else's hands, or you'll be spending it on stuff that may or may not be of value to you. But a budget helps us to stay on track. You think about your favorite company, whatever it might be, Apple, Google, Facebook, whatever. Those probably aren't your favorite companies. Whatever. Think about Tesla, McDonald's, Nvidia. I'm going to keep naming companies until you find one that you like. Helpful, isn't it? Those companies for sure track cash flow. Those companies for sure have budgets. The most financially successful people that you know, I'm sure that they do the same. So why are you and I any different? We're not. We need to track these things. So it's your cash flow, it's reviewing your plan, it's reviewing your budget, and it's also then reviewing all of your accounts. So on a monthly basis, open up your 401k statements, any IRA statements, any brokerage account statements, look at your Bitcoin, look at your credit card statements, any debts that you have. Be doing a quick review glance at these accounts. So again, just to kind of bring this home, your monthly money meeting, you should be reviewing your overall goals, your cash flow, your budget, all of your accounts. How long will that take you? Well, it'll take you a little while at first because you're not in the habit of doing it right now. But once you start getting in the habit, that's when good things start happening. And it's important to stick with this because you're starting and creating a virtuous circle or a virtuous cycle. A vicious cycle is the opposite, where you're maybe currently in a vicious cycle of not reviewing, not looking, not planning, not budgeting. And it's probably not gotten you exactly to where it is that you want to go, which is maybe one of the reasons you found this podcast slash video that you say, you know what? This is just not working. I need to start moving in the right direction. So that is what we're trying to do during these meetings. So it's not going to take you very long. At first, it will take you a long time, but then you're going to get good at it. You may even grow to like it, and you'll do it a lot more efficiently. And frankly, at that point, when you really do get to that point, you can move to quarterly if that's something that you desire. Once you get good habits down, all good things. But the thing is, we have to make this real because some of this could have resonated with you and you say, you know what? Yeah, this is stuff I need to be doing. And then you never do it, which is a very human thing to do. It's a great thing I heard this guy talking about you know, da, 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 but then I didn't do anything with it. So we have to make it real, which means you have to actually make it work in your calendar. And I advocate, I suggest, I implore you to find the same day and time every month to hold this monthly money meeting. So Saturday at 8 a.m. Okay, great. What do you normally do on Saturday at 8? Well, that's when I play with my kids or I take my dog for a walk. Well, that's not going to work. You have to find a time where it's not going to interrupt or get bumped or anything like that, where you're actually going to stick to it and make it work. And you also don't need to make it terrible. It doesn't need to be awful. So if there's a way to make it a little bit more fun, to do it with music or a glass of wine or a beer or whatever you're into, or at your favorite coffee shop, just so you're not dreading this, I think that that is a wise thing to do as well. But again, what's going to happen is you're going to start doing it. You're not going to be awesome at it, but then over time, you're going to get good at it. You may actually grow to like it. You might actually enjoy it. And then you're going to keep doing more of it. But even if you don't ever grow to like it or enjoy it, I know that holding a monthly money meeting will get you closer to your level or your version of financial success. And fundamentally, before I say this, little Sandy, thank you so much for your letter again. Fundamentally, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are, brothers and sisters. So act accordingly.